Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 1. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word. It doesn't say in the beginning was the Father. It wouldn't be false, but that's not what it says. It says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. So, there's a separation and a connection simultaneously taking place. The word God there is in the accusative case. Definitions of verbs often change with the type of case they come along with. The verb doesn't have the accusative, but the noun does. And it changes the function and thereby the meaning. The word there is pros, with. With the accusative case, not with any case, but specifically with the accusative case, it means to or toward, and it denotes a direction toward a thing, a position and a state looking toward something. So it's not that it's alongside of, it's toward it. And the Word was God, literally that is saying, and this is hard to find in the casual reading, it's in the nuance of the original language, so you have to do some digging. But it actually means, what God was, the Word was. So what God was, the Word was. The Word was toward God, what God was, the Word was. Now, when it says the Word was God, this is a good translation, but it does not fully show the Greek emphasis. John's wording puts God first for stress. So the sense is something like the Word was of a divine nature, or the Word was God, with emphasis on what the Word was. The Word shares God's nature and God's identity. Now, in the beginning was the Word. And the idea is that the Word was face to face with God. There was a relationship and a oneness and a unity, a shared identity, a shared nature. If there's a shared identity, then it's necessarily one and the same. The Word was God. It was face to face with Him. Now, in John 17:17, the Word is truth. In John 14:6, Christ is truth. In 1 John 4:16, Christ is love. In John 14:6, He is life. So we have some things that are the same, some things that are not separable. The Word, truth, love, and life are all the same thing. Now, by life, I'm not saying biological life. I'm not saying life of a tree. We're not pantheistic here. What I am saying is that in the beginning was the Word, which was truth, which was love, which was life. And those things cannot be separated because those things are Christ. So who is Christ? He is the Word, He is truth, He is love, He is life. You cannot separate Christ from those things because He is those things. Those things are not separable, and then He says, this is how we come to the Father. Our relationship with God is based on the Word, on truth, on love, and on life. Sometimes we think to ourselves, I have my Bible, I have the Word. That's great. I'm glad you do. You have one quarter of what you need. You don't just need the Bible, you absolutely need the Bible. But the Bible is not just Word. Because the Bible is Word, the Bible necessarily also is truth, the Bible is life, the Bible is love, the Bible is the manifestation of Christ in John 1:14. And so we have this relationship with our Bible. We have the relationship with this Word. That's not just that I know the Word of God, that I know the contents of the words of the pages. It's that I have a real relationship with God. If I have a real relationship with God, the only way that it's possible is to have a relationship with God's Word, which is truth, which is love, which is life, which is Christ. So I have a relationship with God through the Word, through truth, which is the Word. The Word defines truth. If it's not the Word of God, it is not truth. I don't care what your opinion, what your emotions, how you feel about it. I don't care what your self-identity tells you. None of it is anything of any substance except for Word, which is truth, which is love, which is life, which is Christ. They are not separable. You draw near to the love of God. How do I draw near to the love of God? It says, look for mercy. How do I look for mercy? And the person will often think to themselves, not incorrectly, but perhaps not entirely completely, I'm anticipating God's patience toward me. Yes, absolutely. Anticipate God to be patient with you. Absolutely. But understand where it takes you and where it's coming from. It's coming from a throne of grace, which is God's throne. So the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16, number one, this is why it is a throne of grace, but number two, this is why it also is the place where you do find mercy and you find grace for help in time of need, because it's a throne of whom? The throne of grace is God's throne. So that necessarily also means that the throne of grace is a throne of the Word. It's a throne of truth, it's a throne of love, it's a throne of life, and therefore it is the throne of Christ. So everything that Christ is seated, if you will, on the throne of grace. Everything that Christ is has all the authority of God. The Word of God has the authority of God. It is who He became as a manifestation to us. In Colossians 1:15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. What does it mean that He's the firstborn over all creation? All of creation was created by Him. That's what we read in John chapter 1. Through Him was everything made. Nothing was made that wasn't made through Him. So what do you mean He's the firstborn of all of creation? In Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. That necessarily means, because of what the words mean in the original language, that the crucifixion was the structural foundation of everything, including time. So time was established on the slain lamb. The events of time are established on the slain lamb. Let that one alone sink in. The events that take place in time are established on the slain lamb. We should just stop right here and have you think about that for the next hour. The events of time are established on the slain lamb. Should meditate on that one. Because that will completely redefine the way that you see your life. Time itself was established on the slain lamb. That which was created, that which is around us, it was all established on the slain lamb. We see that in Genesis 2:7. In the original language, it reads, out of the dust of to show blood, God created to show blood. So it all relates back to the blood of Christ, which was shed on the cross, which was the structural foundation for everything, for the universe. There is nothing that is not dealt with by the cross because it was built upon the cross. There is not anything that is outside of your relationship with Christ because it was built on the relationship with Christ. Some people may say to themselves at this point, we didn't have a relationship with Christ at that point. We weren't around. In Ephesians 1:4, he chose you prior to the foundation of the world, cosmos, not earth, universe. So he chose you prior in Christ. That means necessarily that your relationship with Christ was the very first recorded thing in history. Before any of it took place, he had a relationship with you in Christ. Now, to you, it may seem difficult because how can that be? I'm in time. I'm here. I live so long. I was born on a certain day. I go home to be with God on a certain day. And I have a certain amount of time. What do you mean? He knew me prior to that time, especially prior to even the universe. Yeah, I understand, but please keep in mind in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, God's ways are infinitely beyond ours. God's thoughts are infinitely beyond ours. The fact that His ways are infinitely beyond ours means that He is very capable of doing things that I can't even begin to perceive. I can't begin to understand. I can trust without knowing the mechanics. And this is one of those things. How is it that he knew me then? Well, Einstein touched on it in part when he told us that all points of time exist simultaneously, except for the fact this was when all points of time didn't exist at all. This was prior to that. And he already had a relationship with us. Why? He's God. So in Revelation 13:8, he is the firstborn because everything is established on him and he came in the form of a man. So the notion that he was in the form of a man is not unique to something that took place roughly 2,000 years ago. That's the very first thing that took place in terms of creation. That was the foundation that was laid for creation to be built. In Romans 8:17, we are joint heirs with Christ. In Romans 8:29, we are conformed into the image of Christ. He is the firstborn in that sense. He always was, but in that relationship with us, we became one with Him in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 on the cross. on that very thing, which was the structural foundation of the universe, the relationship existed first, and then the provision existed after. Now, that might seem confusing, perhaps, but when people get married, don't they get engaged first? And then they get married? Have you seen anyone ever get married and then get engaged to the person they're married to? He chose us in Christ prior to the cross that made us to be one with Christ. So we were chosen and then we were brought into union with God. And upon that, everything was built. So in 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things indeed are from God because we are reconciled to Him. Everything that takes place in your life, please remember this, everything that takes place in your life takes place as the outcome of your unity to God. Nothing can take place that is not built on your unity to God. Because the mechanism of that unity that we have with Christ is the structural foundation on which the entire universe was constructed. So all the events, all the people, situations, it doesn't matter what it is, things, it all exists built on the foundation of your relationship to God. Therefore, it is all there to serve your relationship to God. You can't separate it. It's literally there to promote, serve, somehow work together with, somehow have the outcome of being conformed to the image of who He is. Everything, literally, everything, in some way or another, don't worry about if you don't understand how. You're not God. You don't know the end from the beginning. He does. You take on an eternal perspective through the Word of God, but you still don't know the details of the outcomes. He does. It's all there for your sake. You had a bad day. That bad day is actually for your sake. You don't feel well that day. Don't know how, but somehow it's for your sake. You had an argument with your best friend. It's for your sake. Something went wrong at work. It's for your sake. There's literally nothing that can exist that is not for your sake because of the relationship that you have with Christ. That is what that event, person, whatever, have been constructed upon. You can't separate them. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Well, if I have a relationship with Christ, if I have a oneness with Christ, as the Word of God says I have, what is it that I have a oneness with? I have a oneness with His Word. I have a oneness with truth. I have a oneness with His love. I have oneness with His life. I have oneness with Him. You can't separate me from His love. You can't separate me from truth. You can't separate me from His Word. You can't separate me from His life. This is where I am. This is my oneness with Him. This is what the entirety of everything was constructed upon. Why does Alpha Centauri exist? Why does the Magellanic Cloud exist? These are structures in the universe. I don't know how it works together, but it all exists for the same reason. It's established on our relationship with Christ in some way or another to promote that relationship with Christ. I don't necessarily know how, but the Bible tells me that it is. Perhaps it's there to create the conditions necessary for life on earth. I don't know. But one way or another, it's there for a very specific purpose. Or it wouldn't be there at all. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, in verse 16 of Colossians 1. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So God is looking face to face with the Lamb that was slain as the structural foundation of the universe. God is looking face to face as he's creating. In the Word of God, if you look at the original language, it becomes evident that the structural foundation was laid, and immediately upon that, immediately after that, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't wait. He laid the structural foundation and he started creating upon it. But as he created the heavens and the earth, he was looking face to face with the slain lamb. As he was creating the details of your life, he was looking face to face with the slain lamb. And in fact, the details of your life are the life of the slain lamb. He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. He made you to be one with the Lamb on the cross, which was the foundation. Everything that you are, everything in your life, everything that exists around you, everything you experience, entire history of the earth, in fact, entire history of everything, is face to face with God looking at the slain lamb. You can't separate us. All things were created through the Word, and he is the Word in Revelation 19:13. He is the Word. His name is Word of God. So he is truth, he is word, he is love, he is life. All things were created from the word, from truth, from love, from life. And nothing exists anywhere, whether on earth or anywhere else in the universe, that was not created on the foundation of the word, of truth, of life, of love. Those four elements, if you will, make up literally everything. And they don't just make up the things that are tangible, they make up literally everything. Your thoughts. Well, if you knew my thoughts, we'll get to that in a minute. Your details. Details that have nothing to do with you. China, for that matter. Everything. Literally everything. In verse 3 of Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In Ephesians 2:6, he raised us together with Christ, seated us above in those heavenly places. Just as, that is to say, in the same way, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So, the spiritual blessings, the blessings that God has for you, and by the way, every blessing that is not sin, and we'll explain that in a moment, is a spiritual blessing. It's a blessing that comes from Him. Now, we are chosen and we are blessed for the same reason. Keep in mind who chose us, who created us. The one who is the Word, the one who is truth, the one who is love, the one who is life, Christ, created us. He chose us. And He chose us to be one with Him. Now, because He is love, He must be all that love is. Love is not mere affection. He must be all that love is. We read in 1 Corinthians 13 the manifestations of love, and indeed these are components of His character. But He is also holy. He is complete. What does that mean? That means that within Himself, He is all that He has to be, all that He needs to be, all that He is. He is within Himself. But He is also holy. And because He is holy, and sometimes we don't always recognize this, we see it as being perfect or somehow completely sinless or what have you. But that's not something we can say about God because we have no way of analyzing or evaluating God. You don't analyze Him, you don't evaluate Him, you trust Him. When Lucifer and the angels tried to evaluate Him, they fell. Because they had nothing to evaluate Him with, and therefore their entire evaluation of God was unrighteousness. We trust God because He is all that love is. And because He is holy, He is also the manifestation of love. Holiness is His nature. It's manifested in His character. Character always manifests nature. And so holiness is His nature. Love is His character. Love is the manifestation of holiness. Hence the reason why the Word of God says, if you love your neighbor, you fulfill the law. Love is the expression of holiness and all that love is. Now in Jeremiah 31:3, when God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love and with a loving kindness I have drawn you, that necessarily means that everything about us and everything about creation is connected to Him. Not only motivationally, but functionally and in His essence. Because He is the structural foundation. You can't separate love from the cross. You can't separate truth from the cross. You can't separate the Word of God from the cross. You cannot separate life from the cross. That's where life comes from in Galatians 2:20. You cannot separate Christ from the cross. And so, all that love is, was not just the motivation for everything, it's the function of it. It's the essence of it. How do we function? We function by love in Galatians 5:6b. Faith works by love, and our life consists of faith to faith in Romans 1:17. The love component is what gives it its energy, its ability, its life. So we enter into this relationship with the Word, with the truth, with love, with life, and then we have a relationship thereby, because they're the same thing, with Christ. And the manifestation of who He is revealed to us through our relationship, starting with the Word. In Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, if it were simply like what happened with the devil and the fallen angels, they turned against him in heaven, they conspired, there was a rebellion against God in heaven. Ezekiel 28 tells us about this. Then you wouldn't need the blood. If it was simple like what happened with the angels, then removing them would be sufficient. But with us, it's different. Because we become one through the Word with truth, with love, with life, with Christ, you can't just remove us. And that's where the blood comes in. This is why the blood is effective. Because in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Christ removes all sin. In Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, which Einstein showed us is a time reference, so from all of time. So God doesn't remove us like he removed the devil, like he removed the fallen angels. He targets the sin. And he leaves us in place so long as we have a moment of faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Why isn't every person saved? Because whatever is not of faith is sin. And if it is sin, then he has to remove it from time. Because he has created and chosen us to be one with him, one person with him. Since he made us to be one with him, that's how we become his body in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Since we have been made to be one with him, there needs to be a provision to protect creation. Because he is the foundation upon which creation was built. So he established a provision to protect creation. And that's the blood. If I don't have the word, if I don't have truth, if I don't have love, if I don't have his life, I don't have Christ, what I have is sin. Because all of these are entered by faith. The throne of God through the Word of God becomes effectual in my life in Romans 5:2 by faith. And so when I have this faith, I enter into a oneness. It takes only a moment. But that moment is where that oneness is found. And so I have this faith. Now, you cannot, in Genesis 1:1, separate creation from time. Time is, if you will, the platform that was built upon the foundation which holds creation. So you cannot separate it from time. Time is so much a part of creation that things like gravity are a function of time, which floors people. But that's what Einstein showed us. That gravity in and of itself as a force emanating from objects is not correct. It doesn't work that way. There is no force like that emanating from objects. Gravity, Einstein showed us, is an indentation in the fabric of time. Well, if there is an indentation in the fabric of time, and that indentation is caused by the objects that are resting on time, planets, stars, what have you, that indentation, as you travel through time, draws you to that object, and there's gravity. You cannot separate that from the Word. You cannot separate it from truth. You cannot separate it from life. You cannot separate it from love. You cannot separate it from Christ. It rests upon Him. Our faith toward Christ is the point of interaction that we have with reality, with what exists. You think you're interacting with your circumstances, with people around you, with objects around you. You think you're interacting with them, but in truth, you're not unless you are interacting by means of your faith toward Christ, your oneness with Christ, because everything else is sin. God removes it from time. So while you may have had a tangible, perhaps connection, touch, what have you, it doesn't matter. It's removed from time. The only thing that survives the blood is faith. Therein is your interaction with time, with God, with the Word, with truth, with love, and with life. Therein is your interaction with Christ. Not separable. Not separable. In 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. This is the activity of the cross, because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. In Romans 5:8, when we were made to be one with the love of God in the original language, the King James says God commended his love toward us. The word commended in the original language is sunesthesin. Commended is a secondary definition. The primary definition is to unite. We go with primary definitions. God united us to his love. So he didn't commend, he united us with his love through the cross. He united us with his word through the cross. He united us with truth through the cross. He united us with love, with life through the cross. Galatians 2:20. We're united with those things through the cross because we are united to him through the cross in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. Therefore, apart from the cross, I cannot have a relationship with the Word of God. I can hear it. I can receive it. It's not going to do anything for me. Apart from the cross, I cannot have a relationship with truth. Apart from the cross, I cannot have a relationship with love. And apart from the cross, I cannot have a relationship with life, because apart from the cross, I cannot have a relationship with Christ. If I'm having a relationship with me, I'm not having a relationship with Him. And that was the whole purpose of the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Because if I'm having a relationship with me, I'm not having a relationship with him. So Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily. After he's denied himself. And follow me. The word and truth and love and life and Christ cannot be separated. So if we love, we also have to think in doctrine. Because you can't separate them. It's reality. It's truth. You can't separate them. We have to live in truth. And without living in truth, we cannot have love, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which manifests eternal life in us. When you're told, draw near to the Word of God, that's a big deal. Much bigger than sometimes we realize. That's a big deal. You can't separate us from the Word. You can't separate us from the truth. You can't separate us from love. You cannot separate us from life. You cannot separate us from Christ. Sometimes we try to separate ourselves, and that's called sin. That's removed by the blood. I don't know about you. I don't want my time removed by the blood. In John 5:24, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that hears my word." Well, what am I hearing if I hear his word? I'm hearing truth. I'm hearing life. I'm hearing love. I'm hearing Christ. "He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Faith is our interaction and our connection to the Word of God, to truth, to love, to life, to Christ. And it gives us a place with Christ in his creation. Creation indeed is protected by the blood. Because if we are to be one with Christ, we can't be something other than Christ. So the blood comes in and removes those things from time. And only that in us, which is Christ, will remain. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."